Hey, Danny, how you doing, man?
All right, Lewis. How are you?
I am well, thank you, and I love that flawless sentence. I'm in the hottest room in the world. I have the door open, but not the window.
Excellent.
So if my neighbour does start killing dogs again, I won't even notice.
Jesus Christ, that's deja vu and a half right there. I'm sure you said that. Didn't you say that last week? Was it in Parasite,
or was it on I think it was on Parasite, yeah. But well, the thing is, it was a witty callback.
Yes.
That's what I was doing, yeah.
A witty better call Saul back.
Yes, perfect. I loved it.
But that is as important as that is, guess what?
What? What am I listening to?
Just
what's this?
Imagine the ants, Lewis. Imagine the ants
swarming
the ice cream. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Incredible. I like to imagine you spent like £1.50 on that song, and you need to find a way to justify using it for work so you can charge
really
to your business account. I like to imagine that's what's happened.
I really did, by the way. I didn't even mean to buy it. I was like, oh, what's that? I meant to just rent it for 79 pence and ended up buying it, and I was like, fuck.
Good stuff.
It's well worth it.
This week we are talking about Better Call Saul season five, episode 5.
Dedicado a Max, which is Spanish for what?
I think it's very obvious that it's Spanish for dedicated to Max.
What? Is that it?
That's one of the things that gets me. When you see people like reading a sign in Spanish or French or whatever, it's like, no, those words are very similar to English words. Can you not figure out what L warning? Can you not figure out what that means? Le toxic waste. Oh, come on now.
Oh, shit.
You're right?
Yeah. The honey in my tea hadn't dissolved properly, so I just got a big gulp of it all at once. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, honey's a weird thing.
You hear that?
Good old bees, eh? I can, it's really good.
You hear that nice ASMR there, Lewis?
What a horrible ASMR that would be.
Lukewarm tea.
Right, have you got an opening statement, Dan, before we have more tea chat?
Lewis, what they don't realise is I'm padding this one out, because the last one was a bit shorter, you know?
Oh, I see. Right.
Right, okay, so Dedicado a Max. It was written by Heather Marion. It was directed by Jim McKay. It's starring Bob Odenkirk, Jonathan Banks, Rhea Seehorn, Giancarlo Esposito, Tony Dalton, Michael Mando, and Patrick Fibbin.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. No, I was lying. opening statements.
Yeah, have you got an opening? Hit me with it. Hit me.
The midpoint of the season, and I think things are back on track.
Well, hey. Yeah. Okay. An opening into the Gus v. Salamanca War, which is something I've been wanting for ages, especially with this series of, oh, the Salamancas are doing something weird, and Gus is like, oh, I'll kill a million people or whatever. I'm just excited to see where it goes. I want to know what comes next in the Gus v. Salamanca War.
Yes. Well, let's go to creepy room questions then.
Okay, creep my room.
Okay,
Do you get it? It's like that show, Pimp My Ride. Do you get it? I like that.
That's quite good. I like that, yeah. We should do that. We should make a show called Creep My Room, where a nice, homely, wholesome room is made as creepy as possible.
Yeah, it's a nice, small room. We have to eat dinner off each other's laps. Yeah,
Lewis,
that's the one, right?
What the hell are we doing, Lewis? We need to save this for the 10-minute... Oh, never mind. I'll put my, what do you call it, nose, finger on my nose there, going nosy to sort of symbolise that there's something that we haven't told you, but we will tell you.
So there very you go. Good.
Anyway, so it's, I think if this episode had a running theme, it would probably be honest manipulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Gus is honestly trying to manipulate Mike. You know, he puts him into this small little town that he funds, and Mike assumes that he does that to make himself feel better. And Gus doesn't tell Mike that it's dedicated to his partner, Max Incarcegia is his name in Breaking Bad, if I remember correctly. And he just says, "I am what I am." So while he's, you know, trying to soften Mike up, he doesn't sort of say, "No, I'm really a nice person, and this is what I do when I'm not killing."
I'm a good egg, promise.
Yeah. And Jimmy is honestly trying to manipulate Kim in this episode.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
It's like, it gets to the point with Acker that you should really just take it no further. You've done everything you can.
Mm.
And we get that lovely montage of Saul just coming up with these crazy
that was a good one,
yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love the montages. That's honestly one of my favourite parts of the show.
Oh, gotcha.
And Jimmy...
How long could he keep it going for, do you think? How long could he keep that delaying going for?
Indefinitely. What were some of them? What were... there was
burying pottery fragments. He like bought a second-hand pot and then shattered it and buried it under the thing and be like, yeah, it's an archaeological site. We need to do a dig.
And changing the numbers, which was a nice callback to season 2, where he switched the numbers on the bank address for Mesa Verde, which eventually caused his brother to sort of lose his career, essentially. So, yeah. But what else? Radioactive land.
Yeah. It's the... I don't know what's in smoke alarms, but yeah, that was
so clever.
Did the cops watching the gate not think it's slightly weird that he's just bought 500 smoke alarms into this bloke's house?
And he's got this weird cord on his trouser leg and stuff's coming out of his trousers. What's that about? But yeah, so it gets to the point where, you know, Kevin Wachtel, the big old boy, the big bank man, isn't going to back down.
Big boy Kevin.
And their manipulations don't work on him, and they push him too far, and he's just like, that call center isn't moving a goddamn inch. And Kim feels really upset about that, and Jimmy's like, well, there's no reason to take it any further, but there's always another play. And then she's like, what? And he's like, no, there's no, definitely not, there's not. And that is just clear manipulation from Jimmy. Jimmy is trying, sorry, I should say Saul. Saul is constantly trying to push Kim down this slipping path, which is pretty horrible.
Oh yeah, it is not nice at all. However, I'm really curious to know what it is that Kim saw in the photos, because it looked like she was just looking at the Mesa Verde cowboy logo thing.
Yeah,
it looked like that was what it was, but like, what the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
I think it might, like, there might be a company out there that has a similar logo or something like that, and they'll just...
Okay.
I can't for the life of me think what it is. It probably won't be that. It'll probably be something completely different, and I'll be like, oh!
But you were spot on with something or other, weren't you? Piss, what was it?
What was I spot on with?
I can't remember. You predicted something last time, about the doctor from Breaking Bad. That was it. At the Frings complex, you said, "Oh, the doctor from Breaking Bad's gonna be the one that helped Mike," and then it was. So congratulations on that prediction.
Thank you. I knew it was gonna be him. It had to be him
because
it just made the most sense. I didn't think that there was gonna be a memorial to Max, and I think it's... I want there to be a bit more dialogue about it between him and Gus, because it's really, like, I don't think it's enough to sort of persuade Mike over. I think Gus has to sort of tell him what happened, and then that might persuade him to go back to Gus, because Mike was really bad. He was like spiraling out of control. He was going around the streets picking fights and getting drunk and shit like that, and it's like, I think there has to be a bit more before you can just go, yep, Mike's really loyal to Gus now, completely.
Definitely. I think Fring needs to sort of show he's got heart, in a way.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what he was trying to do in that episode of Breaking Bad way back when he had Walt over for tea, or whatever it was
he was
doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like there were kids' toys, weren't there, strewn about the place or something. And the implication was that he's got kids, but I mean, we don't know if he does or doesn't. I'm presuming he doesn't.
Yeah.
But those toys were like a manipulation thing.
He even said it as well. He was like, "I never get to make this. Kids won't eat it."
Yeah, yeah. It's
never seen any kids.
Mm. And that Gus is a completely different Gus to the one who sits in the dark in the back of Los Pollos Hermanos, and he's like
waiting for a
goes
phone.
Out, he waiting for the phone call. Yeah, it's a completely different guy. Because it makes you think, with that changing of the guard that happens so easily, is there even a Gus anymore? Has he sort of been hollowed out by horrific events happening over his whole life?
Yeah, there's a great video called a great YouTube channel called The Take, and they sort of put forward the idea that Gus is a corporation embodied as a human being.
Yeah.
Just completely focused on making sure that the business runs efficiently. He would have to have a family, though, because he told Walt, and from that you can assume that he's told other people to sort of humanise himself. And if he ever got called in for questioning, the DEA, for example, they would be able to find out very easily whether he had kids or not. So I don't think he could risk lying about that to try and make himself look good.
Well, the only people we can presume the only people he's lied to about this are people that, like, would also get in trouble with the DEA if they got in contact. Like, Walt, he told Walt, but if Walt went, "Oh yeah, this guy, he's got, like, a fake family or whatever," then Hank Googles him. He's like, how do you know this guy, by the way? "Oh, I cook meth for him in this underground secret lab." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a degree of inbuilt insurance, maybe.
Yeah, because they say that quite a few times in the show. Criminals have no recourse. So, you know, it's like in season one, where, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know the Kettlemans? You know, the family that embezzled the money, and Jimmy managed to sort of wiggle his way to get them to confess. It's like Jimmy broke into the house with Mike and stole the embezzled money. and the family threatened to call the police for stealing. And Jimmy was Jimmy was like, yeah. Logic in you, even on a good day like that. You know, you stole that money, and now you're going to go to the police for me stealing it from you? That doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
But,
I have a question.
Go on.
Was Mike prepared to walk all the way back to Albuquerque if he had to?
Yes.
Without
a doubt.
Because there's toughness, but there's foolhardiness, and there's being an idiot. Could you really walk from some town in rural Mexico or whatever to, like, Albuquerque? I have no idea, but it seems impossible.
Yeah. It said, like, what, I can't remember the town's name, but it was, like, 4 kilometres away, and the doctor was like, if you walk 10 kilometres, you'll reach El Paso, then you'll get a bus that could take a day, and then another 2-hour walk, and then you'd finally reach Albuquerque. And he's like, you wouldn't survive the journey. It's like, I should fucking hope not. He's bleeding out in the bus. He's like, I'm almost there. Jesus Christ. See the PI that they hired, Kim and Jimmy?
Yeah.
I was hoping that it would be Patrick Cubey. You know, the ginger guy in Breaking Bad.
I don't think I do know the ginger guy in Breaking Bad.
He's played by Bill Burr.
Okay, let me Google that real quick.
I like Bill Burr. He does a good podcast.
Bill Burr does. I remember seeing his. Oh yeah, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I expected it to be this guy as well. I was like, oh yeah, there's that guy that was with Huel all the time. Can we like? But like, yeah, I sort of, yeah.
But it was Trevor from Grand Theft Auto. He was in season one, to be fair, so it does fit.
Yeah.
You know, do you think Kim has realised that she's gone a bit too far?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's realised she's gone too far, and she thinks the only way out of the hole she's got herself in is to keep digging. Like that shouting match she had with, I have no idea who that guy is. I guess he's like another head lawyer at Mesa Verde or a PR guy or something.
Yeah, so
but like,
Kim is with Schweikert and Coakley, and Schweikert and Coakley are the law firm that are helping Mesa Verde get their bank branches through, and that guy's name is Rich Schweikert.
Okay, cool. But yeah, like kicking off at him, that can't be a good, that can't be a good career move. Do you know what I mean? She's sort of doubling down on the dishonesty and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Because Rich sees it. Rich is like, yeah, I'm not buying this. It's like it's, which you would wonder why Kevin bought it, but they balance that sort of arrogance quite well, and that's why he can't sort of see the devil in front of him. But Rich, who's a seasoned lawyers, just like, yeah, you know, I had to pull your arm to get you down to Tucumcari, and then you try and get them to move branch, and then all of a sudden your boyfriend is opposing counsel. It's like, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I have a bit of a question.
Go on.
Wouldn't learning Spanish be a huge help for Mike? Because I get that, like, he's an old man and whatever, but, like, learning a bit of Spanish, even if it's just stuff like food, drink, phone, stuff like that, the very basic things that he needs to know to, like, because communicating with that lady was very difficult for him because he doesn't speak Spanish. Surely, as a as essentially a PI in this criminal underworld where it is where a lot of these criminals in the show, like all of the Salamanca family, even Gus, they speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be easier to just learn Spanish and go with it?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I feel like it's kind of slightly weird that that's the kind of thing I would expect Mike to do, is to have some level of conversational Spanish.
I think he might, because when he's putting the window in, he knew instantly that it was Gus talking, and then he was raging, and he can say stuff like muy bien and things like that, you know. And he sort of understood when he asked for the phone. And she was like, no. You know, so I don't know what degree he has it, but you're right, I think he should. You would think he would have just been really prepared, as he normally always is. And see, when he was going to build a charger.
That was ridiculous.
And she just comes out with one already built, just looking at him like, for God's sake, Mike. All you had to do, if you learned Spanish, you could have just asked for a fucking charger.
That's one thing I really like about Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, is they both have this sort of vaguely witty, comedic tone to a lot of their things. Like, that was funny. Watching that lady go and fetch a phone charger and bring it to him, that was funny.
It was very funny.
I like it a lot.
So do I. Okay, this is the thing that we always ask. What's Lalo and Gus's next move?
The thing that I keep thinking is, what is Mike's role gonna be? Because is he gonna be like a foot soldier? Is he gonna be like a general? Is he gonna be like in charge of mustering troops to storm the Salamanca compound or something? I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Mike is an old man. Surely he can't be on the front lines mowing down Salamanca's goons. But on the same level, I wouldn't put it past him.
No. I mean, I think it is going to be a bit more tactful. I think it's... Gus can openly attack Lalo, and Lalo can't openly attack Gus, because they've both been warned by the cartel that you must coexist, and there is no room for debate on that. So Lalo's best move is to continue to try and weed away Gus's money. And I think we haven't seen much of what Gus does. Gus is sort of countering and getting his troops in line and just sort of doing damage control. But I think Gus's play will be to try and make Lalo look unhinged and unreliable and maybe not worth being up here, because he doesn't know the ways up here. You know, he goes about killing people in fucking travel wire and things like that without any consequences. You know.
Yeah. So how would you if you were in Gus's position, how would you do that?
That's probably what I would. I'd probably I don't know. I have no clue. How would you? What would you do?
I think you're right in saying that the only thing to do in this situation is to discredit Lalo in some way. You need to make him look unhinged, or you need to appeal to that, the classic Salamanca flaw of being a bit insane. That's what you need to make happen. So I don't know. I suppose I would either try and provoke him into a fit of rage at a very inopportune moment.
Yeah.
Or I would slowly take apart his operation and make him sort of wage an all-out war on the streets of New Mexico sort of thing. Because if you can make Lalo appear to be the bad guy, then he'll be forced south of the border.
Yeah. But he has to die. Or at least Gus and everyone else has to think that he's dead. Because I've mentioned this before, but in Breaking Bad, Gus, when he torments Hector, says that his grandson, who was killed by Jesse when they're south of the border, was the only family that he had left.
Mm.
So the writers have sort of locked themselves into a corner. So they need to find a way for Gus to get rid of Lalo in a way that sort of keeps Jimmy's story. It can, you know, keep the continuity right, but also in a way that makes everyone believe that he's dead. And also, they have to make sure that Jimmy still thinks Nacho's alive, even though he might be dead. Mm. So, I don't envy the writers, to be honest.
Mm.
But I trust them, Lewis. I trust them.
Yeah, writing their way out of a corner is something the Breaking Bad writers have always been very good at.
Yeah.
And saying, oh, well, we're in a bit of a pickle. Do you know what I mean? I can imagine Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan sitting down and just writing it and just, right, well, we need to make this happen. And I can imagine that it will be fine. Do you know what I mean? I trust them.
What do you think they're going to... I'm curious. I'd love to be in a writer's room session just to watch, just to observe and see what it is, what their process is. Gus, what could Gus use? What would... Because they might not even do that. They might do something completely different. They might just be like, yeah, Gus is just going to kill him and just try and hide it and no one will know.
Gus is going to put a bomb in a wheelchair attached to a bell. And a guy completely that isn't that guy from the care home. And, yeah, just wheel him into Lalo's house. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, because we have... Today's Monday and the next episode comes out tomorrow. Mm. And then we'll review that next week. So after tomorrow, we have three episodes left.
Ooh.
Of this season, so it's gonna have to get big. It's gonna have to be up there.
Mm. I look forward to the drama.
The dram.
The
wee dram.
The wee dram.
I have another question.
Okay.
Do you think Gus arranged the hoods on the street?
Mm,
or do you think that was just chance?
I don't think he arranged it. I think maybe he has ties with them in some way.
Mm.
Because Mike did seem to genuinely offend them in some way, and that's why they went after him.
Yeah.
But I don't think Gus sort of paid them to do it or anything. I think it was more likely that Gus was sort of made aware of the stabbing because they also deal Gus's meth or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
I know, it's... As time goes on, we seem to have fewer and fewer questions about this show. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's been longer than last week, but the reason is because it's such a good show, and we're Doctor Who. We could just fucking complain to no end about shit.
I can't get over the cowboy thing. That thing you said about is there another company with a similar logo? Is that based on anything, or is that just speculation?
It's just speculation, because it looks like... I thought I saw that the logo looked a bit different in one angle, and there was another angle where there was like a cactus, and maybe there's one without a cactus.
Yeah.
And it... I mean, that is a very Saul thing to do. Just try to get a wee loophole to try to... A loophole... Like, you know when you're playing a Jenga, and it's this one tiny, insignificant little thing, and you pull it out, and everything comes... tumbling down. That's what I feel as if it's
going to
happen. But I could be wrong. She might. We're all thinking about the logo, but there might be a photo of Kevin like chopping a dog's head off or something like that.
It might just be something that the PI, who's clearly a bit of a psycho, didn't even deem to be suitably crazy. It's like, oh, it's chopping a guy's head off. Yeah, that's just what I do for fun.
Yeah.
And Kevin's just got a photo of that up in his study. It's like, yep, that's fine.
Kevin's like, how the fuck did he miss that? God's sake. No, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do.
As am I. They keep answering questions, providing more questions. I like it a lot.
Yes, so do I. Oh, God. After this season, it's one season, and then that's it. That's the end of the Breaking Bad verse. We've had Breaking Bad, we've had El Camino, and then it's once Better Call Saul's done, that's it.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about then?
Rick
and Morty, or wait for 20 years for another series, and then talk about Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that's meant to be out. Where the fuck is it? Come on, Dan. it's the second part of the same season. What are you on? I'm sure we could find something.
Yeah, we'll have a go.
Yeah, we'll
treat ourselves to
find something.
Some ITV drama or something. Treat ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do Let's do Coronation Street or EastEnders.
Never run out of episodes of that, Christ.
Yeah, we could start right at the beginning and then die before we get to the end.
Oh my God. Imagine if there has to be a podcast about Coronation Street.
I would imagine so.
I'm going to Google this. Coronation Street podcast. Yep, there's several. Okay, there's The Talk of the Street, there's Conversation Street, there's Topical Talk, okay.
What is it they talk about?
Conversation Street, episode 410.
Oh my
Christ.
God. Jesus.
Half rice, half chips. Alia puts her vlogging fingers to good work as she finds some shadiness in Tim's dad's past. Well, Tim's dad has more baths than Joseph. What? Oh, this is... Oh, it's a catch-up podcast. Okay,
right.
That's odd. So they watch Coronation Street and then take some notes and then... Okay, I understand what this is.
Wow. I have another question.
Okay, go on.
I've just realised...
Is it about Corey or...?
Fuck Corey, no. if you like Corey, no. Sorry.
harsh.
It is harsh. I think we've yet to learn something about Kim's past, because if you think about it, she's putting in a lot of effort for this guy. There must be something that she's not said or not telling us, because it's the motivation is, yes, I want to do the right thing and this guy doesn't deserve to have his home taken, but it's like, yeah, but you're going to such lengths to almost ruin your career. There must be something that she hasn't told us yet.
The thing I keep coming back to is maybe he's related to her very distantly, or he reminds her of her father, or something really dumb and weird. I mean, it will not be something as dumb and weird as either of those things, but
yeah,
it could be.
Yeah. Or maybe
that is definitely the end of the questions now.
Yeah, I think that's us. See, do you know what we can't do, Lewis? We can't ever find a happy medium. We either don't make the target that we set out, or... we go over the target we set out.
So would you rather that we hit exactly 30 minutes on this one and exactly an hour on the...
Yeah, 30 minutes regardless of what we're talking about. Just end it. Just be like...
Just cuts out mid-sentence. Yeah,
Sopranos.
<It's>
like,
right. That is the end of the CRQs. Have you got a closing statement?
I do. It's becoming a lot clearer how things are going to go. Kim's pattern has always been doing something, slipping, and then she returns to her normal, legitimate self. It's going to be the case that Saul is going to go too far, and then things will blow up.
Blowing up, who doesn't love it? Right, as many questions as it answers, it generates more. What function will Mike take, as general or a foot soldier? We know Fring will win, but how's he going to do it? What's going on?
Yeah, that's it.
Indeed.
That's the question.
Is it time for a cheeky bit of shilling?
It is.
Because you all know what we're going to do next week. It's Better Call Saul 506 next week. So yeah, that's good.
Wexler v. Goodman. Ooh.
Exciting anyway. Times.
Yeah. Jesus. I'm on Instagram at Daniel Kerr. No, I'm not. I'm on Instagram at Ohiram. I'm on Twitter at Kerzo2000. I'm on Facebook at Daniel Kerr Actor. What are you on, Lewis?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Lewis_Brindley, Twitter at LewisBrindley4, and I have a Facebook page which is called Lewis Brindley, and that's my name.
Yeah. The podcast is hosted by Podomatic. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Deezer, we've got a YouTube channel.
We do.
We've got a PayPal donate button. We're on Patreon. So please give us your dosh, give us your cash, anything that you can spare when you're not fucking buying toilet roll, give it to us now.
Or whenever you like. We'll see you next week. Thank you.